Well, sorry that our technology wasn't quite working completely tonight, so we shall fall back to our more old-fashioned methods as I come to tell you about the good news of Christmas, as I come to tell you this evening about what's the good news about who's in the manger. We've heard Farami and Jasmine and Eben have read to us the Christmas story from Luke's Gospel this evening, and we've heard how the angel Gabriel came and announced this birth to Mary. We've heard of how Mary sang of the good news, and we've heard of how the shepherds came and announced to the angels so that they could come and see Jesus. See, Christmas is always a time for news. It's a time when we see people at dinners and parties, people that we haven't seen for a long time, and we get all their news. And we get Christmas cards with Christmas letters telling us what people have been up to for the last year. And we get together with family and with friends. And finally, at last, you get everyone in the same room as each other all at once, and everybody finds out what's going on with everyone else. And even at this time of the year, TV and the radio are full of the year's news, full of all these roundups of what's been going on, everything from the most serious news stories of the year to the top pop songs and the celebrity gossip. Everything is news at Christmas time. You just can't escape the news at Christmas time. The two always end up going together. And some of the news is welcome news, and some of it isn't so welcome. And some of the news is interesting news, and some of it's rather boring. And some of the news is exciting news, but some of it's quite irrelevant. Some of it's good news, and some of it's bad news. But Christmas news isn't a new thing for now in an age of mass communication, office parties, easy travel, and 24-hour media. No, news has always been a Christmas thing, right from the very beginning, right from that very first Christmas day, because the very first Christmas day was a day of news. The very first Christmas saw people spreading news around. And the very first Christmas was a day of good news. It was a day of exciting news. It was a day of welcome news. And the news broadcasts began, as we heard in that last reading, on the hillsides of Judea. Let me just read to you a few of those verses again from Luke chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." That's the news that the angels brought to the shepherds on the hillsides of Judea on that very first Christmas. And immediately when the angels appear, they tell the shepherds what sort of news this is. They say that it is good tidings of great joy, good news of great joy. Immediately, the angels want to make sure the shepherds know what sort of news this is. They want to let them know that it's good news. In fact, it's not just any old good news, but it's good news of great joy. It's not just the sort of thing that somebody says and then you reply, "Oh, that's good news," and then you very quickly forget about. But rather, it's good news that's going to have a major impact, good news that's going to bring lasting results. It's not just the sort of good news that induces a sort of mild curiosity, but it's good news that brings great joy. But if it's so good, this news, why does the angel have to tell them so up front? Well, you see, I think that these shepherds are a bit like us. Because as good as Christmas is, sometimes in the run-up to it, we can feel like it's a bit of an interruption, really, or a bit of an inconvenience in our busy lives. Just think of all the extra shopping and planning and organising and work that needs to go on for Christmas to happen. And then, to top that all off, it comes at the worst time of the year. It comes just when it gets so dark and so cold that we want to stay huddled up indoors. We have to go out and fight the crowds in the cold and the dark to do our shopping for Christmas presents and for Christmas dinner. So much as we love Christmas when it finally arrives, in the run-up to it, it sometimes can seem a bit like an unwelcome interruption. And so much so that we need someone to stop us and say to us, this is good news of great joy. So that's what I'm doing for you tonight. I am your Christmas angel tonight, telling you that this is good news of great joy. I'm telling you so that in the midst of all the busyness, you don't miss the good news of great joy. And I hope that at the end, you'll be a bit like these shepherds tonight too. You see, Christmas started off as an interruption for them. It was an interruption to their work on a cold, dark night. And it started off as something unwelcome, so unwelcome that the first thing the angel has to tell them is not to be afraid. Because it says in verse 9, they were greatly afraid. That doesn't sound like a welcome interruption to a night's work. But at the end, Christmas ended up causing them to praise and glorify God. It ended up that they couldn't help but tell other people the marvelous news that they had heard. Because this was good news of great joy to all people. And when it says good news of great joy to all people, that includes us here tonight. We are all people. So this is good news for us. So for the shepherds, hearing the good news changed everything. Christmas was transformed from an unwelcome interruption to great rejoicing. All because they heard the good news. So I pray the same tonight, that same good news will bring you great rejoicing as you hear it this evening. I pray that as you hear again the good news tonight, it would change everything in the best way of all. So, what is this good, joyful news then? Well, it's the news that a Saviour is born. But what does that mean, a Saviour? Well, we know what the angel's talking about. We know the Christmas story really well. It wasn't quite so familiar to these shepherds. They weren't at a nativity play every year. They weren't familiar with the story. So we know that it's all about baby Jesus being born. We know that that's who's been born. Jesus has been born. That's who the shepherds are going to go and see. But when the angel appears to the shepherds, the angel doesn't say, baby Jesus has been born, go and see him. He says, a Saviour has been born. The angel calls baby Jesus a Saviour. And that means that Jesus is much more than just a cute baby in a manger. He's the one who saves. He's the one who brings salvation. In fact, that's what his name means. Jesus means the Lord is salvation. But what's salvation? Well, in Matthew's Gospel, when it explains why Jesus gets this name, it says this, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So Jesus is the Saviour because he's come to save us from our sins. Now, notice that. See what it says there? It says that sin is something that we need to be saved from. See, we might think of sin as just really bad stuff that really bad people do, but that's not what the Bible says about sin. In the Bible, sin is something powerful. Sin is something that has power over us. It has power over us all, and it's dragging us all down to death. But Jesus is the Saviour who entered into our sinful world to defeat sin and to rescue us from its power and from the death that it drags us down into. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says this, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. See, Jesus has taken our deathly sin and he has put it to death through his death in our place on the cross. And by his death, he has destroyed our death. And in its place, he wants us to enjoy eternal life in him. Jesus didn't just come to show us a good example of not doing really bad stuff. No, Jesus came to rescue us from the power of sin and death. He came to take our death and in return to give us his life. The good news is that a Saviour is born. But that's not all. That's not all that the shepherds say to the angels. That's not the right way around. That the angels say to the shepherds. They don't just say a Saviour is born. They say Christ is born. Now, this Saviour coming wasn't actually a big surprise to the shepherds. The angels coming, that was a big surprise to the shepherds. The shepherds were probably surprised by the timing and by the stable and by the manger and by the fact that they were the first to know. But they would have known that God was going to send a saviour. That bit wasn't a surprise because they knew from the Old Testament God's promise of a Messiah, of a Christ to save his people from sin. You see, God didn't just suddenly one day get fed up with sin. It wasn't that he'd turned a blind eye to it up to then, but he'd finally had enough, and so he sent Jesus to deal with it. No, he had always promised a saviour to save us from our sins. And he'd always provided salvation through that one saviour, through Jesus. And just as we look back to Bethlehem and to Calvary, to Christ's great saving work from cradle to cross to empty tomb, in the Old Testament, people looked forward to Jesus coming. They looked forward with trust in him. The first song we sang tonight, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, every verse of that song is an Old Testament promise of the coming of Jesus to save his people from their sins. It goes back to the very beginning, right from the time that sin entered into the world in the Garden of Eden. God promised to send Jesus to save from sin. God promised in Eden to send the seed of the woman to crush the serpent, conquering sin and death. When God spoke to the serpent, pronouncing his curse, he said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. See, the serpent would bruise his head, but the Saviour would crush the serpent's head. And that promise from the very beginning was fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus, who was the seed of the woman. And at Christmas in particular, we remember that he was born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus, who would conquer death through his death on the cross. There at the cross, the serpent could only bruise Jesus' heel, but Jesus crushed the serpent's head once and for all, defeating him forever. And so through Jesus' death on the cross in our place, he has won for us victory over sin, death, and the devil. But that's still not the whole of this good news that the angels proclaimed to the shepherds. They've said a saviour is born. They've said Christ is born. But they say more than that. They say the Lord is born, a saviour who is Christ the Lord. That's what they say. And who's the Lord? Well, maybe for us today, when we see words like Christ and Lord together, we sort of think it's just a name. It's just Jesus' name. But the shepherds had never heard anyone talking about the Lord Jesus Christ before. So that wasn't how they'd have heard it. But they knew who the Lord was. Because the Lord, that's God's name. When the angel said that this Saviour is Christ the Lord, he's saying God has kept his promise by coming himself to save us from sin. So this baby in the manger is God himself. It's God in the manger. If you've ever read the Chronicles of Narnia, if you've got beyond the ones, the books that they've made films of, and if you get to the very last book, The Last Battle, Lucy says there, she says, in our world too, a stable once had something inside it that was bigger than our whole world. She's talking about Jesus in the manger in Bethlehem, this tiny little baby, but in reality, he's bigger than the whole world. Think about that for a moment. It's God in the manger. We even sing about it. The last carol we've just sung. We've sung, lo, in yonder manger lies he who built the starry skies. And in a more modern Christmas song, it goes like this. Hands that set each star in place, shape the earth in darkness, cling now to a mother's breast, vulnerable and helpless. See, just consider the wonder of how Christ our God has humbled himself for us. We've read in these scriptures tonight how he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's how helpless he became for us. God the Son is placed by his mother in a manger. Why? So that he doesn't roll over in his sleep and fall out and hurt himself. The bread of life needs his mother Mary to feed him. And he needs her to change his nappy too. You see what our God has done for us. That's how far he has humbled himself to save us. He doesn't stand in the heavens afar off in power and glory, issuing some instructions from afar for us to obey. No, he enters right into our condition. He embraces our weaknesses, our sufferings, and our miseries. And so he knows just what it's like. And he takes them upon himself to bring us salvation through weakness, through suffering, and through misery. The eternal Son of God has become Emmanuel, God with us. And that's not just a nice Christmas name for Jesus, but it's the reality of who he is. For he hasn't just come sort of close to us. No, he's entered right into our humanity with everything that that means. He's entered right into our miseries, our sufferings, our shame, and our weakness. And he's done it for us and for our salvation. One of my favourite Christmas hymns puts it like this. See the eternal Son of God, a mortal Son of Man, now dwelling in an earthly clod, whom heaven cannot contain. Stand amazed, ye heavens, look at this. See the Lord of earth and skies, lo, humbled to the dust he is, and in a manger lies. The Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, the Lord is born. But that still isn't all that the angels have said to the shepherds. They've told us that a Saviour's born. They've told us that Christ is born. They've told us that the Lord is born. But more than that, they've told us that he's born for you. It says there in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. See, the birth of Christ, our God, in a stable in Bethlehem isn't merely something for the angels to marvel at. The angels don't disrupt the shepherds' evening with this good news simply for the shepherds to shrug and say, God in the flesh, how odd, and then not think about it until the next December. No, the good news of great joy isn't just that Christ was born in our flesh, but that he was born to us. Jesus was born for us. Jesus is God's gift to us. But what does that mean? It means that Jesus came in the flesh for us. He didn't just become man for the fun of it, but he became man for us and for our salvation. And that means that he lived and died and rose for us. We've already talked tonight about how he entered into our sinful world to defeat sin and rescue us from its power. He entered into our humanity and he lived the perfect life for us and died the sin-conquering death for us to save us from our sins. And now Jesus is offered to us. You see, Jesus didn't just live, die, and rise for us 2,000 years ago, but Jesus is offered to us now. He is God's gift to us. See, if we're going to benefit from what Jesus has done for us, then we need him. And that's what Christmas is all about. It's not about God standing afar off, doing stuff for us. But it's about God with us, Emmanuel. And Jesus is offering himself to you tonight as God with you. Think of it like a marriage. In the marriage vows, there's a vow that says, all that I am, I give to you. All that I have, I share with you. And that's what Jesus is saying to us as he offers himself to us. All that's ours is his, and all that's his is ours. He takes our sin, our suffering, our shame, our misery, and our death. And in return, he gives us himself with all his righteousness, his life, his great inheritance. This is God's gift to you in Jesus. So wouldn't you just love to receive this gift tonight? Don't you just love this Jesus who's done all this for you? Well, receive him and he's yours. There aren't any special words you have to say. There aren't any special actions you have to perform. You might want to come and talk to me afterwards, and please do. I'd love to speak with you. But if you want him, you don't have to do anything special like that. If you want him, you can receive him right now, as you trust in him for salvation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for sending your Son to live for us, to die for us. We thank you that he is your gift to us. And I pray, Lord, that this evening our hearts would be open to receive this precious gift. Amen.